All right, here we go. Hour number two, Bloomington's Voice, 98.7 WGCL and WGCLradio.com. Wherever you're listening here on the 18th day of January, we thank you for making time for us in our busy Wednesday. Carries on into county government, as it usually does, and our great guest is County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. Marty, good afternoon. How are you? I know all your water problems are sealed up and taken care of, right? Right?
Well, so far, yes, I've been very blessed that whatever they did to fix a problem down there, like 2 years ago or something, seems to have worked.
Good, because you're going to get a test, and we're all going to get a test if we have anything that's a little bit leaky, as it's just going to rain and rain and rain again. But you know what, Marty? We don't shovel it, so I'm not that bothered by it. This is just fine with me.
I'd rather shovel it than bail it out of your lower level. But that's just me. I tell you what, my puppy dog won't want to go outside, so there's that to deal with, too. But at any rate, today is the day that we continue to stay busy, and this has been another busy day. Having to follow what's going on at the state level that affects us here at the local level. And one of the things that happened at the state level is that we got our certified budgets back at the first of last week. And so I wanted to correct something that I had said to you having to do with the library, because I thought, well, it wasn't going to be so bad if we could fix it. But it appears that we can't fix it. The libraries already contacted us to say, yes, they want to do an additional appropriation. And, of course, I'm sure that we'll be happy to help them with that as best we can. But remember that what they will have to do then is spend down the money that they would have had in the reserves. I did send you very recently, I'm sure you didn't have time to read it, but a response from DLGF. To explain so that it would be easier to explain to others exactly what happened. Because even if it's just a bit over that max levy, if the library didn't come to the county council to ask for that and to have us review it, then the legislation says that they have to ask us if they go over that amount, and they did. So the state had no choice but to say this doesn't work, because they can't play favorites, you know.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, right?
If they fix it for one library, then they've got to do it for everybody else that didn't meet the deadlines and go to the budget work sessions and learn what they were supposed to learn. So the total amount lost was, from what he sent to me, in revenue that they could have had for 2023, the amount that they will not be receiving is $519,572, so over $500,000.
That's real money.
It's real money, and I mean, we'll work with them to, you know, try to stretch out that budget as best they can. But it literally, Fred Van Dorp in the answer that he sent to me that said, with a valid adoption, the department could have certified a total levy of $8,243,182 for 2023. But they had to continue the levy from 2022, because that's how the law reads. They had to certify it for $7,723,610.
So where does that money, quote-unquote, go? It's just money that they don't have access to, that $519,000?
No, they don't get it. The taxpayers do not have to pay it.
Gotcha.
They don't get it, because if you know, we at the local level can only do what we're allowed to do by the state controls with all the rules, the regulations, the legislation, and that's why following along at the state level, what's going on there, because everything they do there affects us here. So, and I think it seems to me, perhaps, that during this turnover of new leadership at the library, that somehow or the other, it just was missed, somehow. But I just think people need to know, because we've already received notification from the library that they will be coming to us for an additional appropriation. And I don't want anybody to think that we haven't, that we're saying they can spend more money on top of what they thought they were already going to get, because they didn't get it. They're going to be spending down out of their reserve, out of whatever cash they have.
Now, this is a one-year deal only?
Right, and then the following year, I bet you they'll go to the budget workshop and get it fixed. But they can't ever come back and get this $500,000 that they've lost for 2023. I mean, they can't. Now, they can start at the right number it would have been the following year, but that the $500,000, the $500,000 they're losing for this year is just gone.
Wow.
And taxpayers just went, well, if taxpayers don't pay it, then, of course, it will be gone.
And, well, I mean, that's good news for the taxpayers, but not, you know.
But not that library.
Not for the library. They've got a brand new one,
library.
Right? Yeah.
Right. So, and we knew, or at least I think most people realize it's going to cost more when you have three libraries to operate, and personnel and supplies and utilities and so forth. So it's sad, but it also is another reason why, you know, there needs to be more eyes on everything we do. I don't care what we do. It seems like, boy, we stub our toe on something. We try. I mean, we all try. Everybody wants to do exactly perfect. And no one's perfect.
Well, and the rules that need to be followed, Marty, aren't exactly the rules of checkers or tic-tac-toe. They're a little bit more complicated than that, where you should want to have more eyes on it so these don't fall through the crack. That's tough.
Right, it really is, and that's the reason why the state has these budget workshops for their financial people to meet with the locals, and so that we all understand what we're doing. And then in addition to which, the state, the DLGF, sent out notifications to all the libraries about what numbers they needed to be using. So, but I really believe it just has to be a changeover in leadership there. And, you know, it, sometimes it takes a while to, I mean, budgets are hard, really hard to work through. I wouldn't want to be the first person on the county council if everybody was brand new. Can you imagine? That would just be difficult.
Now, how is the leadership there determined? Is it appointed? Is it voted on? For people who don't understand that, help shed us some light, please.
Right. The board, they're not elected. They are appointed. But the director, remember the director we'd had forever and ever? We have a new director now. I bet you she thinks that's not what she had counted for the first go round, but you know, we'll all work it out, and somehow or the other, we have to make it work. But just for people to know, so that when they see it happen, they will understand what happened. It's not that the state could do anything to fix it once it's already happened. Once you pass that deadline date, then that's set in stone.
Marty Hawkins is our guest, the county councilwoman. Joins us every Wednesday to keep an eye on where county finance goes. That's the Monroe County Council's job, where your tax dollars are. It's your money, so we figure that out and look at it. So what's next, Marty, to move forward? They come to the county council, and they're going to ask for what? How can this be helped, fixed, or moved along?
Well, we'll find out when they tell us exactly where they want to move money, because it appears from the money they have in the rainy day fund and the other cash that they have that they will be able to figure out a way to make this work for this year. I mean, I just don't think it's going to be anything like libraries go shut down or anything. No.
Right, right.
But
it will diminish their cash on hand, correct?
Right, that they might have been able to use for some other something that they might need during the year. So, but we'll, when they bring it to us, we'll look at it and do what we can do. And so but because they've already notified us that they are going to be coming to us to ask for that, then I think it's only fair that the public have an understanding of what happened And I wanted to correct what I said last week because I thought last week, well, I bet we could fix this.
Yeah, that's what you. Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, I tried.
Well,
I guess we didn't. But now the next thing is there's, of course, movement going on up at the state with all the different legislation. And I know that one of the things that we've said over and over again that we would really like to see that the city could not place a tax on people who do not live in the city. And Bill 1163 would help correct that. Not that I'm saying it would pass, but if it did pass, that income tax would then be controlled by the county council. And the reason why that would be far more appropriate is because the county council represents the entire county, and we have representation inside the city as well as outside of the city. So it would be lovely if that would pass, and we'd never have to worry that the city would be passing this kind of huge tax increase if they did in the past year. But we don't have any great big hopes that it will, because you can bet the city is the city group.
Well, it's a little bit, yeah. So people don't understand, everybody that lives in the city lives in the county, but not everybody that lives in the county lives in the city. It's
right.
Well,
that's right. And so we have for a long time thought that it was not right that the people who just vote, who live in the city, and they vote for their city representation, that those folks could put a tax on everybody else. I think most people would agree that that's not right, but they've always said, well, we have to go by what the state legislation says.
Well, that's the whole, we got to follow the rules, that's right.
Right. So, 1163, House Bill 1163 would change that rule, and would then turn that over to the county councils.
I know you will keep us updated on that bill's progress moves through.
Now, the other one a lot of people are watching right now, and that can because it has to do with our food and beverage tax. And there's a lot of major interest in that here locally. You know, there's back and forth between the city and the county and the mayor and the commissioners and others who are pushing to get something to happen or not happen, whatever. But Senate Bill 37, and I do not know whether or not we discussed this, but I think we did, it has to do with if you don't have a bond or a lease placed against an existing food and beverage tax by May 7th of this year, then it would expire. The food and beverage tax would expire, and they started out saying 20 years. Now, I listened to the debate in the Tax and Fiscal Policy Committee, and they determined that they're hearing from some that they really feel like 20 years is not quite enough. And so they did make the amendment to make it for 22 years, but they did not change the time frame for which you would have to already have that bond or lease in place by May 7th of this year. And I just don't see how this county, unless, you know, of course lawyers could figure out anything, I suppose, but it would be pretty close to being getting any kind of a bond issue done by May.
Why is May the magic number? Why not the end of December 31st, where you have the whole year? I'm just splitting hairs here, but I'm just curious about how these magical dates come out. Is that because there's a primary around May 7th? Is that what the...
Well, you know, and of course I didn't write the bill.
I know, but you're here, and I can only ask you, because you know more about
right.
it than I do.
I would say that it's because they want it by... that people would have already had to be on their way to getting something done, and they're trying to put, you know, saying this is it, and you better have been ready to go. They didn't make it retroactive. Now, they could have made it retroactive back to the first year. They've done that before. So they didn't do that.
So there's no rule book on how this works. It's just whoever writes it and comes up with it who thinks they can get support based on whatever they've put together.
Right, and that certainly does not mean that there is support overall for this bill. What it does mean is that it was set at first reading over to tax and fiscal policy, and the tax and fiscal policy listened to it and put it through on the, for the second reading. And so for the second reading, it's going back to the Senate, and that's going to be heard tomorrow at 12:30. It's the reason why I want to talk about it, because anybody who wants to listen in to see what they're going to say about it on the floor. Now, it may be that there will be some kind of amendments on the floor, and if it is, then it will go back to the tax and fiscal policy for either an agreement or not. We'll just see. It's something that we are all looking at to see what, you know, what kind of tap dance we might have to do with it this time.
Who is the author of this bill? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yes, Gaskell. Okay. His last name is Gaskell, because I sent him a message and asked for a clarification on something and did not get an answer. But I'm sure that, you know, it might very well have been also because the county was working on the email and whatever they were going to office, whatever it was, to change our county email. So then we had to get logged in again in order to keep receiving that email. So that got messed up for me in the last few days. So he might have tried to contact me. And not only that, I'm not answering the phone for people I don't have the correct number for, because they're driving me nuts with people trying to sell me insurance. I wish they would just.
No, I know. I tell you what. Why does it? Somebody. I tell you what. Let's put our government to use. Put a bill together that eliminates that. That's something everybody gets behind.
Well, Jeff Ellington tried to do that. I don't know what happened with that, but I know that.
What is Jeff up to these days? Is he over in? He's not in Monroe County anymore, right? Did he move?
No, he lives over in, is that Marin County? I haven't been to his new place, but I'm really anxious to go see it, because you should see all the wonderful things they're doing with this big old building. He can do just anything. You should have seen, he showed pictures of me taking this big piece of equipment completely apart and changing one of the sensors or something in it. I'm thinking, I mean, I'm doing good to try to figure out how to get my food processor to work.
Well, we'll help you with that. That's we can do that. Marty Hawk is our guest. The commissioners, what have they been up to? Any news on their front? We know we have jails to be and community justice committees and all kinds of things on top of convention centers and food and beverage taxes. It's not a very quiet time in government.
It sure isn't, and of course, I think I've already gone over who the president was going to be and whatever, so we'll see how this moves forward. Penny Giffens is the president of the county commissioners. I do know that the new sheriff went to speak to them today during their work session, and I listened to that first portion of it, but then I had to get over to the state to listen to some of their debates, so I missed a lot of it. But one of the things that the new sheriff was trying to make it clear to the county commissioners that in everything that they're asking for to try to do repairs or anything they might need at the jail is not in an effort to try to say we have to stay at this jail. He said not only he knows that's not their role to play, but it also is that's not what they're trying to do. They're just trying to make sure that it is clean as they can keep it, and safer for those that are in the jail as well as the jailers. So I know they came forward to speak with the commissioners, and then the jail commander was there as well, but I did not get to hear all that he had to say, although part of what it appeared to me is he was saying, you know, what a great job because we weren't putting as many people in jail. Well, that may be true if you're just looking at the numbers, but if you are a citizen out here who wishes that they would keep some of these folks in there a bit longer instead of that in and out, hit the door and right back out, to go right back in the neighborhoods to be causing havoc because you see the same people being arrested.
Yeah, I saw the headline earlier today in the Indy Star. Indiana lawmakers propose withholding bail for defendants who pose substantial risk. Now, I don't know what the definition of that is, but that's right. Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. That would add to the state constitution. That's some serious heavy lifting, isn't it?
It sure is. And, of course, Eric Cook, who's one of our folks, you know, that's working in the Senate.
Yeah, it's his author, right, his bill.
And it is because of the way the Constitution is written now, it is written that you can only withhold bail for treason or a charge for murder, I think it is, with substantial information that appears if that's the case. But what Senator Cook was trying to say is that Constitution needed to be changed to give the prosecutors and so forth the authority to charge or to withhold bail from those that they might consider to be violent. Now, that will be different depending on what judge you're working with or what county, because it wasn't clear as to what that particular sentence meant. It was very short. It wasn't like a long...
Well, the other part of this I'm reading about, too, it says Senate Republicans haven't... Let me get this. Who's got this story? Sarah Nelson, Indianapolis Star, because I'm going to read it verbatim. Senate Republicans have included the legislation in their priorities. To become law, it would have to go through two general assemblies and a voter referendum before being amended into the state's constitution. The soonest voters would have to consider the proposal would be November of 2026. So, Marty, that's on our radar. That's not exactly going to happen next week or next year.
No, but it is good that somebody's thinking about it, because it's just, I think a lot of people believe there's too many violent people who have committed violent crimes or appear to have, I guess, only been, can't ever say they're guilty of it until they're found guilty.
Correct.
But when they get right back out and they're a danger to themselves or to the public, just because they had bail money. Now, this is just, you know, talking from not...
Well, absolutely right. Yes, you don't want a revolving door, and then on the third revolving saying, well, geez, we should have kept he or she in there because they committed a heinous crime after that. That's the tough part. So the language in this will be very interesting, what they come up with, because... again, this isn't just as easy as, like you said, throwing two sentences out there and then this gets all fixed up. No, amending the Constitution is a difficult process.
It's a big, big thing. It's a big thing. So, but I do think there's enough people that are concerned about what's going on in their communities that it might end up being something that would really have some pretty... active debate about what could happen with that. And also, I know that there are those who believe that at least that some of the offenders, even if it looks like it's maybe a level 6 felony, because some people think that, well, that's not much, level 6. Well, but some of that could be somebody who is a danger to their family. And so they need to keep those folks in there until the person that have been threatened or abused or whatever can make, get themselves safe or to get a protective order put out there. So I heard that debated too. Now, that might have been from a local judge at one of those local meetings. If you sit in on enough meetings, they all sort of go together.
Yeah, they all run together. That's exactly right. Well, that's why we talk every Wednesday, Marty, so we can keep everybody up to date on what's happening at the state level. We know we're in a legislative session this year and all of the very busy things that are going on here locally. Grab your umbrella if you've got to be out and about for the rest of today. But hopefully when we come back next Wednesday, the sun is shining on the northwestern part of Monroe County.
I'll take that. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Marty. Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman. It's your money, and the County Council, Marty, keeps keep our eyes on all of that stuff, and it is complicated, folks. It is, and that's why we cover it each week with her, to make sure that you're not left behind or say, well, how did that happen? When did that happen? Why did I miss that? Well, we're trying to avoid all of that as well.